what I believe God's calling the church to be, what we have learned about dynamic churches through research. Now research covers everything, even churches and church growth and what is God is doing through the church. So today's topic, where is the crowd, really had nothing to do with the idea that Labor Day we might have a smaller crowd, but I think we've got a pretty good crowd here today. Jane and I always get together and compare notes. She said, well, how was attendance at your church today? And I say, well, how was it at yours? Well, it was a little down or this. So we were both thinking, well, it's Labor Day, might not have a good crowd, but we've got a good crowd here today. But I'm talking about something different. You heard it mentioned a couple of times in this passage from Matthew where the crowds were amazed at the power and the authority and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Not just amazed at the miraculous healings, but what he was saying. And we heard that he had compassion upon the crowds because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he shares the idea that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. When we look at the whole idea of what the church is all about, going and making disciples, as well as a variety of missions and ministries, we need to realize that we are taking the good news to the world around us, out into the community. Now, the characteristic of dynamic, growing churches is the same as it was in Jesus' day, the same it was for Paul, the same as it was for Peter and the early church. It attracts crowds. You have crowds of people when something dynamic is happening in other people's lives. When the good news is real, not just in our heads, not just intellectually, but in our hearts and our lives, and the love of God is overflowing in us, we're excited about Jesus Christ. We have something to share and to witness to the world, and that excitement will draw crowds. So I ask the question, where are the crowds? When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you passionately invited someone to church? When was the last time you consistently and maybe even irritatingly persisted inviting someone to church? Because it matters that they come, that they're here, that they hear the good news. But we're not going to do that if we're not personally excited about Jesus Christ in our own lives. Because we don't have a lot to share. If we just share about Jesus intellectually, we're not going to turn anybody on. Because I don't know too many people that have been drawn to Christ because of intellect. It's excitement. It's vitality. It's people that are so full of the presence of God that something is special in them, and that draws others in. And that's why dynamic churches grow. People have that kind of excitement. That's what happened in Jesus' ministry. They heard something new and exciting, something to change and transform their lives. That's what they heard when Peter began to preach and people gathered around to hear that good news. Now, not all of them followed. Not all of them went into the synagogue. Not all of them came to the new church. But the message itself, if it was coming from the heart, attracted crowds because people are always looking for something better. Do you offer other people something better? Do you invite them to church? Do you come here with an attitude of excitement that makes this a dynamic time when we gather together, and that itself would attract other people wanting to come and see what's going on in the life of the church? Well, that's what this scripture is all about. Jesus is saying there is a massive harvest out there. if we look to God, if we trust in God. But the laborers are so few. We want to eat that which is gathered in the harvest, but we're not willing to do the work of the harvest of the kingdom of God. We want the benefits of the death of Jesus Christ. We want the benefits of the church and what it offers us in our own spiritual growth, but we're not willing to participate in the harvest that God has out there for others who need it maybe more than we. How many people would you say are within a 5-mile radius of this church? 10,000? 15 maybe? Possibly even 20? Depends on how many apartment buildings we have in that radius. Statistics show that 65% of those people are unchurched. Unchurched. Now, they might be church members, but they're not going to church regularly. 65%. And we're not even consistently inviting people to be a part of our church. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are so few. What's our target? Who are we targeting? You know, there's a Charlie Brown cartoon. He was taking up archery. Charlie Brown and Lucy never see eye to eye, but he's taking up archery, and he would get his bow, and he'd shoot towards the fence, and the arrow would stick in the fence, and then he'd go up there and draw a target around the arrow. And there were targets all over this fence, and Lucy walks up and finds him drawing a target, and she says, "That's not the way you do it." He said, "But I hit the bullseye every time." You know, if somebody actually decides to join this church, we say, that's who we were targeting. Just wherever it hits. You know, for us, it's not ready, aim, fire. It's fire, ready, aim. In other words, whatever we hit, we say, oh, that's our target. You know, instead of using a pistol, we use a shotgun and hope some little pellet hits somewhere. That's our target. We were shooting for that. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Where are the crowds? The crowds go where the excitement is. And where is the excitement about Jesus Christ in the life of our church, in our lives personally? Is it overflowing so people come up to you and want to know what it is about that glow in your life? What it is about the changes they've seen over the past year or two? Over the things that are happening in your life, because every day you're making an effort to give something more to God in Christ? Are people interested in what's going in your life spiritually? That's what attracts crowds to a vital, vital church. Paul made this statement in 1 Corinthians 9:22, "To the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." He goes on in Corinthians, well, in the book of Acts, "Would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become as I am." You see, we attract who we are. We attract people just like us. The most consistent growth in the life of this church is through Mary Kay. We attract people like us, and that's not a put down. That's a thanksgiving, as I see Mary Kay people laughing. Because you know that builds a business, it also builds the kingdom of God. We attract people like us. How many of us could stand to say what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ"? If others in the church were just like you, where would we be as a church? If people imitated you, where would we be? What would be the level of our ministry? What would be our outreach? What would be our missions? What condition would be our finances if people were imitators of you? Where are the crowds? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's another passage in Matthew 14 where we hear about the crowds. It ties into our celebration this morning. I want to just share that with you. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a lonely place apart. And when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And as he went ashore, he saw a great throng, and he had compassion upon them and healed their sick. And when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a lonely place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke. And he gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. And then he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Let us pray that God will send out laborers into the harvest of human souls. Amen.